Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of In the Zone. I'm Giancarlo Alino here with Chris Martelli, Anthony Paniello. As you see, that picture right there, it happened. CM Punk is back in the wrestling industry, signed with AEW and made his debut in Chicago on Rampage last week. Chris, I'll start off with you. What did you think of CM Punk, his return, debut, and everything that followed in there?
Well, I thought it was perfect. He didn't do too much, and I like the mystery factor coming back. I mean, we all know he was going to have the cult of personality theme. I think we all kind of assumed that when he came out from UFC and he still had that theme. It's just his theme, so I love how they kept it. The merch is very, very similar, so it's all very good. The only thing that I kind of didn't really like that much was it kind of felt kind of rushed a bit when I watched it the first time. I was like, okay, this guy, yeah, he got on the mic, but he was a little more emotional than I thought. So, you know, at like on one side, I was happy to see him be emotional after coming back for, I think it was 7 years. He said 16 years, but it's only been 7 years, but that's another topic. You just discredited all of WWE. We know that. WWE, they kind of did him dirty down the stretch. I don't know how bad the terms are with CM Punk, but clearly it doesn't look like it's good. He's continuously brought up, even on the last promo last night, he brought up the voice of the voiceless and how people backstage in AEW listen, whereas in WWE maybe they didn't. So I like how he brought up Darby Allin yesterday, talking about how if CM Punk was 15 watching Darby, he would probably be his favorite wrestler. So giving him the respect there, I absolutely love it. He kind of kept it simple, kept it fresh, and it's just great to see CM Punk back on the mic for sure in wrestling.
Yeah, man, this was perfect. I think I said last week or the week before would have been one of the biggest heists in wrestling if he didn't show up. Yeah, we were just joking about that before he went live, but yeah, I don't think he had to say too much. This, he got maybe 5-10 minutes. The crowd was absolutely eating it up. Called out Darby Allin, and that's all it was. I thought this was perfect, boys.
Yeah, he called out Darby, and this promo, I think, was great in that he didn't really talk about WWE too much because I think that's what everyone was expecting. He's going to go on this super long rant and the shoot promo of WWE saying like this about backstage stuff. But like the audience, I think they just want to see him in AEW. I don't think they really care too much about that. I think there's podcasts that he can just do and talk about that if anyone's really interested. So I think this just helped AEW because he mentioned all the young talent they have, like Britt Baker. He talked about Jungle Boy, talked about Darby, Ricky Starks. So this is good for them because now everyone who's watching that for the first time who may have not have watched AEW before, they're gonna, you know, hear all those names that he was mentioning and maybe Google them, look at some of their stuff, maybe pay attention to them more and probably be more fans of the product. And I don't know if they'll get like 2 million viewers right away, but might be a nice little increase once in a while. But what do you guys think of his first opponent being Darby Allin?
Yeah, I'll start. I love it. Obviously, we saw all these veterans that are jumping ship, but they got a nice little mix. Obviously, you mentioned a few of them before. Punk brought up he sees a lot of himself in Darby, so already Punk kind of getting the wheels turning there. So I like the matchup. I think it's going to be awesome. I'm very curious. I know we've kind of grew up with CM Punk, but I'm very curious to see how he's going to be in the ring after all these years. So having I think he's only like 24, young, energetic guy like Darby. I'm very excited for this matchup, boys.
Yeah, I think it's going to be perfect. I think it's the perfect opponent, honestly. We all know that Darby can carry a match. We've seen him carry against guys that, you know, they're not the greatest. I'm trying to remember the guy's name, but it's not coming to me. I remember the first match I ever watched in AEW was Darby Allin. It was a triple threat match to see who could face, I think it was Jericho, and then he won that. And this was when he was like 22 years old. So he's a couple years now in AEW. We've seen what Darby Allin can do. And, you know, having Sting as his manager, that's just elevated him, I think, to another level. And yeah, you said it perfectly, Punk. He's coming back. you know, he's what, I think he's now 40, 41. He's a veteran. He hasn't wrestled in a while. So I think Darby Allin could probably be the perfect opponent if you think of match quality. And regardless, I think this is actually going to main event the show. I think that's just the amount of star power that CM Punk has. I think he's going to main event that show. And I think it's going to be a pretty damn solid match. Maybe not five stars like what we saw in 2011. Maybe he has to get his feet wet, but it is CM Punk. It is Darby Allin, and they're gonna blow the roof off.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. If they main event, so do you think they should do that approach like WWE has in the past, have Kenny Omega versus Christian open the show, or should that be like a co-main event to CM Punk versus Darby?
I think it depends on how they value the tag team division again as well, because they are doing that tag team tournament. And you know, we've seen a lot of up and coming tag teams. Like, okay, it's probably going to be the Young Bucks, you know, Pentagon and Rey Fénix there. I don't know. Like, I want to say yes to Kenny versus Christian to maybe open the show, maybe mix it up. We haven't seen that in a while, but I still think maybe Jericho MJF is going to open. I just feel like maybe that's something that they can maybe work towards. I haven't really heard anything from Rusev. I don't know if he's going to be on the card, but no, man, I'm probably going to have Christian, if not open, yeah, definitely co-main event after Punk and or before Punk and Darby Allin.
I'm going to have Kenny and Christian close the show there. But yeah, I see where you're coming from. You have those big type feel matches where I just immediately thought of WrestleMania 18. That's what I go to. Like Rock and Hogan, that's my first example. So I respect where you're coming from for sure.
Yeah, this is an interesting one too, because Sting's going to be on the outside. So have to wonder, maybe someone's going to come out and interrupt this match, because both Darby and CM Punk are faces here, and Sting, like, you got to let the guy have something to do while he's killing time out there. So I think maybe after the match, we'll see something where maybe Taz's group, like Powerhouse Hobbs, like, I know CM Punk said he wanted to work with him. So do you see him, Ricky Starks, and those guys come out, or do you think they'll save that for Dynamite?
Yeah, I think they'll save that for Dynamite. There's always going to be the bigger type, like, rumor that's going to go around. Like, I've heard Adam Cole is rumored to interfere in the match. I don't really see it happening. I do see him eventually joining AEW just because of Britt Baker being there and her being the AEW World Women's Champion. I think regardless, Salino, whoever interferes in this, if someone interferes, it's only beneficial for both parties. I mean, Punk is going to have a feud moving forward. And like, if Ricky Starks and that group can go up against a guy like CM Punk, that's only going to elevate their name moving forward. So regardless, AEW is in a bright spot with this pay-per-view.
There it is.
Yeah, I like it. That's AEW's. Well, more of that next week, because they're just finalizing that card. Looks good. But speaking of cards, we had a good one, I guess, over the weekend. Had its moments. We'll go over the whole thing, but as you see here, obviously I couldn't find the updated picture. Sasha ended up being off the card. We saw what happened there. Drew McIntyre and Jinder, guess they had a fine little matchup. Ray, they did him dirty. Poor guy. Charlotte won the 15th title of her WWE tenure. And we had some surprises, so we'll start off with which match stood out to you as the show sealer? Start off with Pinello.
Oh man, Edge and Rollins. That was an A-plus match for me. Ever since the build started like a month or two ago, everything leading up to it was perfect. Edge bringing in the bloodbath and like a little shout out to the Brood days was very unexpected. That was such a treat. And like him and Rollins going at it, that's one of those dream matches. So then it finally happened. And it wasn't a waste because, you know, Edge is at a certain age now, but he's may be the best he's ever been. So these two going at it at a main pay-per-view was fucking amazing. And the way it ended was also unexpected, but awesome as well. So A-plus for me, this was a show stealer.
Yeah, that's the obvious answer. Rollins and Edge was match of the night for sure. I do want to say, though, that Roman Reigns and John Cena was – way better than their No Mercy match. I really liked, I mean, it was slower paced just based off of Cena not wrestling for a couple of years. He definitely needed the rest stops. So kudos to them for good communication. The only thing I didn't like was maybe the amount of finishers, but again, you got to kind of anticipate it from them here. Yeah, I'm going to just quickly talk. I want to, like, the match, I guess, other than those two that really stood out to me was the triple threat for the Raw Women's title. I thought the whole time that match was freaking solid. Nikki Ash, Rhea Ripley, and Charlotte had great chemistry. They hinted, you know, during the match that all three could have won at some point. We all, I mean, me and Alino guessed it. Charlotte Flair did end up winning the Raw title, but, you know, she did it in dominant fashion. She had her spots. Rhea had her spots. Nikki Ash, to me, was, she was dominant, but, you know, we didn't really, I mean, I didn't really see her retaining here. It was all good stuff from the women, but I do think that I was definitely surprised with how well that match went.
Yeah, I think they booked themselves in a corner because now I guess even they realize, like, if you added the NXT reigns, she's a 15-time champion, and they don't even count that anymore. Now it's back to 12. So they're probably like, oh, no, we got to slow this down here. Can't be getting to 16 just yet. You got to save that for another year. But now who does she wrestle? Like, you have so many people that she just gone through, and now you got a triple threat. So if you're looking at the Raw roster, like, who do you match her up with next?
I mean, it's probably, I want to say either Asuka, who we haven't seen in a while, or Alexa Bliss. And I'm only saying that because at some point in time, they have to drop this Lily character. Like you said, Alino, I think it was 2 weeks ago. It's just disrespectful to Bray. You got to drop that character eventually. So Alexa Bliss, I think she's going to go full-blown face here, and I think she's going to face Charlotte in a, I don't want to say a long feud, but I don't think it's going to be a one pay-per-view thing. I think it's going to maybe be about a month feud, I want to say. So two pay-per-views between Alexa and Charlotte Flair.
Did Lacey Evans have her fucking kid yet or what?
I don't think so. Not sure.
Because when I look at this Raw roster, it's pretty slim, Alino. I think we went through it last week. We were kind of going through, like, certain women that can change brands. Like, when I'm looking at it here, I want to say Shayna Baszler, but I'd be contradicting myself because I want to see her go to SmackDown now. So I would not be opposed to Rhea Ripley just staying with Charlotte and they go for another month while they figure it out.
Oh, yeah, they got a lot from NXT just looking at some of their ages and, like, all those reports saying that they don't want anyone over the age of 30. So hopefully they do have someone come up, maybe two, three people, because it looks like we're seeing the same match over and over again on Raw, which is unfortunate. But what would you think of a name being tossed around here? Hasn't been signed. Tessa Blanchard versus Charlotte.
Oh, shit. Yeah, for sure. But for that one specifically, I feel like you got to save that. You can't really rush into that. So when I think of Tessa Blanchard, it's like that big money match type feel. So for Charlotte and Tessa, those two specifically, I feel like years in the making of a WrestleMania type feel match. So yeah, I wouldn't throw her right away. You could do a lot with Tessa Blanchard, a lot of great competition throughout all the WWE. I don't know where she'd land exactly, but the match with Charlotte, I want a long ass build to that one.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see Tessa being the one right now. Even like if they wanted to even rush it, maybe you do WrestleMania next year. But even then, that's I really have no idea what the plans are moving forward. I mean, you said it best. The Raw Women's Division is really, really slim right now. Shayna Baszler, I really want to see her do more. Asuka as well. They teased it with her. She had the title and then she dropped it and now she's nowhere. So we do love Charlotte. She deserves all the praise. She does deserve being champion. She is probably the greatest woman of all time in terms of wrestling. But I do want to see something different. If the difference maker is Tessa Blanchard, I think it's the wrong approach. I think it's too soon, but I do want to see someone different. Like, I know Alexa Bliss has won the Raw Women's title before, but maybe you could have Alexa Bliss go out there, change your character, make something fresh of it, and you know, get the fans behind her and see where this goes, because we all know Charlotte will, she'll put on a good match with a broomstick. So regardless, I'm looking forward to whoever Charlotte feuds with. I just hope it's not someone like Rhea Ripley or Nikki Ash for months on end.
Well, moving on to a train wreck here, something that I didn't think would be that, but it was anyways. We had a return, kind of out of the blue.
Oh, boy.
Rub people the wrong way, as you can imagine. You got a main eventer here who has been carrying the brand, and the returning star comes back, wins a title in 26 seconds. Did they do the wrong thing here?
Yeah, this ain't it, man. You don't do it like this. Yeah, Bianca was freaking carrying it. She did get stale for a bit, but that was not her fault. There was really no competition when Sasha disappeared and Bayley got hurt. So, I mean, she had to go up against people like Carmella, Natalia, those type of people. So, I mean, Becky coming back here is great. Obviously, the pop was pretty awesome. But just coming out here, awkwardly announcing that you're going to be in the match and then winning it right away, that was just kind of... It just felt so, so awkward, man. It's not like I hated it. It's just, it was so awkward. It was flat. It didn't really do anything for me. And the fact that it was in a huge stadium like that, it just kind of felt really, really awkward. But moving forward, I really don't know if Becky's a face or a heel. I mean, it looks like she wants to be a heel. I think she's requested to be booked as a heel moving forward, but man, I feel really bad for Bianca here. They did her really dirty.
The moment of her returning, I thought was awesome, but like the execution was just so poor. But like, does anyone actually know what happened to Sasha? Because the funniest thing to me was they played the 5-minute promo video, and then they immediately announced that Sasha wasn't coming up. So like, what the hell happened there?
Yeah, poor Pat McAfee, just like hyping her up, and then she doesn't show up. He looks like a dumbass, and yeah, like I don't even think they knew either, and which is weird because there were like rumors during the week, but then after when they kept promoting it, you would think maybe she's in the match and doesn't show up. They swerve everyone and have this rushed ending. So I think that right now they booked themselves in a corner with this one.
But yeah, it wasn't even. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Like, to your point, though, like, Bianca and Sasha have been carrying things for a long fucking time. So, like, I understand it's Becky Lynch and she was on top of the world before, but, like, she deserved an actual match at least, right?
Yeah, when she actually lost, and it was even the new move, too. Like, she did the rock bottom. They called it, I don't even remember what they called it. I think it was the man slam or something like that. But, yeah, something very corny like that, but... When she did that move and then ended the match and like she got the three and then like it was just so awkward because Bianca immediately like rolled out of the ring and it was like, okay, is that like a finisher? Was that like a supposed to be like a surprise pin? Like I don't really know what that was. So like you said perfectly, the execution was so, so bad. The return was great, but like were they really that pressed on time? Like I feel like this could have at least been a 5-minute match. And it to me, it's just there's a lot of questions here. I don't know if WWE wants you to question this segment, but I hope we get answers moving forward because that was just a flat-out dud.
Yeah, there was something I was reading a couple minutes before we went on, just looking online. I don't know how true this is, but there are some people saying that they're a little upset that maybe Bianca Belair didn't use her pole as a champion and say, you know what, no, we're not doing that 26 seconds. We're going to have a longer match and as a test of saying that maybe she should have been a little bit more argumentative with that to try and get the match to go longer instead of her character being like that, maybe protect him more. So do you think maybe this was a test that she failed or was it there's more to that than what we're believing here?
I think there's much more to that. I feel like with the situation Bianca's in, like she's in a world title match going into it. You're facing Sasha Banks for the world title at SummerSlam. At a packed crowd, like if she were to just, I think it would look bad on her if she were to come out and say, I want it done this way and this way and this way after all that. So I think there's much more to that story there.
Yeah, it's the inexperience and the experience star. Becky's been the experience star for a year. I mean, no, it's been like 3-4 years. So, you know, her man run, she was on top of the world. She was arguably, we said this before, like 2 years ago, she was like superstar of the year worthy. So there's two different spectrums, Alino. You have one person that was a superstar of the year at some point, and then you have the inexperienced but promising champion. And then, of course, you know, I guess Vince wants the views. He wants to get this. I guess he just wanted to refresh things, maybe like a restart. Maybe that's why he did it. But I don't understand the squash here. I really don't. To this day and moving forward, I don't know if this is going to hamper her career or not. But, like, oh, my God, you could have done this in such a better way. Like, she was breaking records in NXT nonstop. She's an athletic, gifted freak, getting better every single day in the ring too. So to have her go out there in a packed stadium like that, be involved in a great surprise return, and then just it just ends so abruptly, there's just so many questions here. So I don't know if this squash match was actually to signify her turning heel. I don't really know if that was the case, because here you could see she's all smiles. But I don't know, man. It's really tough to tell, but hopefully, if we do get a Bianca versus Becky match, it's going to be incredible at the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, I just find it weird, too. Like, she's been really popular. Like, you look at all the entrances she had since being champion, past WrestleMania. She was on that music festival. And, like, I don't know. It just seems so weird that someone that popular couldn't, like, make this more of a moment, maybe even have that longer match. Or maybe Carmella just comes in and, like, cost Bianca Belair, and then after Becky takes advantage, could have done something like that, continue the feud. But this squash has a lot of Brock versus Kofi to it, a little bit of that flavor. But I think this one puts Brock and Kofi to shame, because Brock, you would expect it to happen because the size difference. This was someone coming back after having a kid and immediately takes off the top star. So I think that was a little weird.
Absolutely.
Do you think they could, what about a brand switch for Bianca since the draft is coming up? Do you think they'll just reset on her and they'll just move her to Raw to maybe
if it's after Extreme Rules, then absolutely. I think that would be the ideal plan, but if it's not, then nah, man, I think they have to just go with this for now, this little awkward stage, and just kind of go through it, man. Like, some wrestlers go through the motion, some wrestlers, you know, they take advantage. I think this is going to be Bianca's time where, you know, she looks at what she's been doing, and you know, I don't want to say this is going to humble her, because she really doesn't need to be humbled. She's been on top of her game, she's been the face. I remember for the longest time they were trying to hint at her maybe turning heel. So I understand that maybe going to Raw is better, and of course we can get Bianca versus Charlotte Flair. That'd be freaking incredible. But I don't know, man. I really don't see it right now, Bianca going to Raw.
Well, that one's going to be an interesting story to follow, especially tomorrow night. But moving on to something else here. Bobby Lashley's a bad man. We saw this on Saturday night. Not only does he beat up Goldberg, which, you know what, not gonna lie, it was actually, for the most part, it was a little bit entertaining. Like, Goldberg, a few moves, he almost killed Lashley, so I can't look over that too much, so that was not the greatest thing. But for at least 5 of the 7 minutes that this match went, it was a little entertaining. The ending, Bobby Lashley beats up a minor, fucking puts him in that that master lock or whatever, the hurt lock that he's calling it. Puts him to sleep. He's down there. Goldberg, his bummed leg after that cane by MVP, and MVP just trying to calm everyone down. So Goldberg said he's going to kill Bobby Lashley a few times, and that looks like it's going to happen in Crown Jewel. So we'll get another big payday for Goldberg. So what'd you think of this match and the mess that followed it?
Take it away, Pinello.
I didn't like the mess because of the very last part you said. It sets up a very obvious rematch, the Crown Jewel. Other than that, it went kind of as expected, as I guess we all thought. It was just 5 minutes of them slapping each other. It was entertaining. But yeah, the ending of him It was so funny when he dropped his son. But when that happened, you just kind of knew, yeah, we're going to see this again.
Yeah, you know what, man? I fucking love this. I love this whole segment match, whatever you wanted to call it. This was freaking entertaining as hell. You have, okay, other than I think there was one spot there where Goldberg flipped Bobby and it looked like Bobby landed on his head.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh shit. Okay. I hope this guy's okay. And then immediately it was like a minute later, MVP just decks him with the cane in the leg. And then the rest is history. Bobby just throwing him into turnbuckles, just chopping at his knee nonstop. And then of course, for the first time ever, Goldberg can't finish a match. So that was freaking awesome to see. And then of course, I don't know why his idiotic son, 15 years old, comes in the ring trying to help out his dad. That's a dumb move. And Bobby had to do what he had to do. He got startled, turns around, he puts him in that hole and puts him to sleep. And then, you know MVP saying, you know, it could have been anybody. That's freaking entertaining as hell. I thought this was perfect. I know we're going to get the rematch, but there's no way Goldberg is winning. I got Bobby Lashley holding this till Mania. And this reign has been refreshing as hell. Maybe Big E cashes in, but I don't see Goldberg winning. So don't worry, Pinello.
Look, in Bobby's mind, a fan jumps in the ring and he's just protecting himself. So if I was Bobby, I'm also putting the kid in the master lock.
Exactly. Everyone says he's the heel here. Nah, he did the right thing.
Oh, Nick, man. Let's go, boys.
And you knew that they did that on purpose, him going on the microphone saying, oh, yeah, it's like we could have been anyone, because you know. If they didn't do that, there'd be some group somewhere looking to cancel Bobby Lashley. You don't cancel the Almighty, all right? So they knew that was happening. MVP's smart. He's not going to have any, like, violence against young children. Like, Goldberg's son knew what he was doing. Good kid. He might be in the WWE one day. There's going to be a nice moment for the highlight pack when he eventually is in NXT or whatever. But it was a good one, and it sets up for Saudi Arabia, which I don't think it's a bad idea, because that's a kind of market. That's what they target there. They like these kind of matches, and they're just catering to that crowd. So they'll love it a lot more than maybe a fan base here. So it's a win-win for everyone. Goldberg's going to get a nice chunk of money, nice $2 million probably. So Christmas is going to come early in the Goldberg household. Good for him. But moving on here.
As long as it's else. Not a WWE title.
Oh, you never know, buddy. We saw Roman Reigns, like we were talking about before. He beat John Cena clean in the ring, but it was after the match that got everyone buzzing. A lot of people shared the Pat McAfee's reaction when he saw this menace come down to the ring in his new Viking ponytail. That's Brock Lesnar. Back from the fucking forest in Saskatchewan. He's ready to hunt, ready to fight Roman Reigns. What were you guys' thoughts when this happened?
This was awesome, man. This was like, I can't believe I'm saying this after all the years I've seen Roman versus Brock. I'm looking forward to this. You know, you have Roman Reigns' heel run has been incredible, beating John Cena clean and in a dominant fashion, too. Like at the end of the match, I think he did three moves in a row and ended it quick. So that was pretty awesome. Cena doing, you know, his typical double AA off the rope, whatever it's called, and getting the near fall was awesome. It wasn't on the level, obviously, of AJ Styles and Cena, but, you know, Roman and Cena, like I said before the pod, this was way better than their No Mercy match. So the fact that Cena came back after so many years, you know, performed a great match. And then Roman still wins, because the thing that pisses me off the most, though, Alino, is why did he have to go on the mic and say, yeah, if I lose, I'm leaving WWE. I just felt like that was a little much. But other than that, Brock coming back, it was only because CM Punk went to AEW. So they had to kind of even the score here. But I absolutely love it. You have Brock Lesnar. The last time he was a face was against The Undertaker at SummerSlam 2015. And that was absolutely incredible. So I think Brock Lesnar's probably, I don't want to say the biggest pops out of anybody. He actually might. But this guy, man, absolutely incredible. He's still in amazing shape after all this time off. I think it's been 16 months for Brock. It's refreshing, believe it or not. So I'm looking forward to this. but I still hope that Roman retains.
Did you see Roman's face when Brock's music hit? Well, man, guy's a great actor, but yeah, obviously better than their No Mercy fucking disaster. Cena still looks awesome after all this time. Yeah, I definitely made up for that. And then, yeah, buddy coming back from the forest over here with that hair flopping around. I don't think Brock's going to change a thing about his character. He's just going to continue being that badass. I'm curious to see how Roman goes about it because, yeah, we've obviously been seeing these two for years, but now the script has changed with Roman being the heel with Paul Heyman, who was also fucking killing me when Brock was approaching Roman. Brock, Brock, Brock! So just comedy, comedy all around from him. And yeah, these two for the 19th time. Let's go.
Look at this guy.
Look at this guy right here on the steps. The way he came out too. Just like you can tell he's walking right from home. He probably took the jet, just went to the arena, didn't even fucking care. Just strolled in there like that and then went back home. He's not there probably have a blast and go into a character. I think Pat McAfee called him the alpha male of our species. That killed me. When you see him jumping up and down, I think it was about time. I think he got bored. He needed this adventure just to come out, have a blast, beat people up, and then go back home. Crop some more on the farm. Maybe butcher some more meat and have a blast. But Brock's going to get a lot of money. You know, when he was strolling down to that ring, he had a smile on his face. He got that big bag, took advantage of the negotiations because AEW's out there. And now that they signed Punk and Daniel Bryan, obviously, and maybe Bray Wyatt, Vince McMahon didn't want to lose Brock Lesnar. So I think the price went up a lot and he got his money. Good for Brock.
I just think Brock Lesnar, you're looking at his apparel here. He's just a fucking beauty. He's wearing boots. He's wearing these jeans, his belt. I've never seen him wear a belt like that before. His hair, I don't even know what to call that. So I don't know if this is a character change or he's trying to change. I don't know what this is. Like you said, Alino, he probably even just came from home and didn't even give a shit. We really have no idea. But all we know is Brock Lesnar's back in WWE, and that's only bad news for everybody on the roster, especially John Cena.
And as we're looking at this face turn for Brock, like as a full-time face, I think 2002, end of that, midway through 2003, before he turned on Kurt Angle, is when he had a long-term face run. And now that he's doing it in 2021, almost 20 years later, do you think he'll have a bigger impact as a face, or do you think this might just be short-term until he maybe faces Bobby Lashley or a Big E down the road?
I think it could be short-term, but at the same time, we know that Brock can do it. I know Brock was straight comedy all those years ago with those backstage skits on SmackDown, that little, whether they're like frenemies at the time, him and Kurt, they do those little competitions. So Brock's got the humorous side of him. That was a long time ago, but even if he is a face, I just said it, I don't think he has to change much. He just has to not be an asshole and fuck up good guys. If he comes out and just, he just does what he's always done, I think that's all you need from Brock.
Honestly, man, I'm not going to lie here. I can easily see Heyman turning on Roman here, but he can't, because Roman's run has just been ridiculous. It's been at a different level. If Roman was maybe struggling, then maybe I'd see Heyman turn on Roman and align back with Brock. And then, Brock fools everybody, comes back as the face, and then, wins back the Universal title and potentially has a long reign again. But I don't see that happening. I see Lesnar staying as a face for maybe, I want to at least say, till the Royal Rumble. So I don't really know who his Mania opponent's going to be. That's a long time from now. But as of right now, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar. That's absolutely incredible. It's fresh. I wouldn't be surprised if right after the fact, let's say this is a one-off. Like, let's say we get Brock versus Roman at Crown Jewel and that's it. If Brock wants to stay around, you have a heel Seth Rollins, and those two can just, they have so much history as well, and we all know how great things can happen with those two. So either way, It's going to elevate Roman and Seth if you're feuding with Brock Lesnar. And it's just something for Brock Lesnar to do while he comes back. So he doesn't necessarily need the Universal title anymore, but I would not be surprised if he won it again.
Well, you mentioned something there about Mania matches, and one that looks likely now with Brock coming back earlier and he's going to face Roman is Roman Reigns possibly setting up a big match with his cousin The Rock. And it looks like The Rock's coming back around November, and he's going to be feuding with Roman, get that started. I don't think it's going to be a Survivor Series match, but if The Rock does come back and they want to have him wrestle because it worked last time he wrestled before he faced Cena, who would you match him up with before that match?
Oh, The Rock? I'd probably have him maybe go up against the Seth Rollins if they want the money, if they want the money match. If you really want to go with someone that can elevate The Rock's performance, I think it's Seth Rollins, and I think that's a no-brainer. But if he's on Raw, probably AJ Styles. That is, I know that's kind of far. Maybe, you know what? I'm actually going to go off the board there. If it's not Seth Rollins, it's Randy Orton. Because I want to see Randy Orton versus The Rock one more time before The Rock ends it for good and before Randy Orton ends it for good. So, you know what? Randy's been doing good stuff for the last 2 years. Right now, he's a tag team champion. I don't know how much longer that's going to go on for. But by November, December, I don't see Randy Orton still being tag champ. So on Raw, I'll say Randy. On SmackDown, I'll say Seth.
No, man. They'll feed him like fucking Damian Priest. And it'll be 2 minutes, and that's it. I think with Randy, that's another... If you do the... Really think about that, The Rock and Randy Orton. That can close a Mania. Like that, like when you look at those two careers and how far Randy's come, like they... They faced each other at Mania 20 when he was still a fucking baby, and how much has he done since then. So if they did that against Randy, I like that would be another one too. Like I would take time on that one. So I love the Seth Rollins and AJ Styles one actually.
Yeah, same. Like I was actually kind of surprised like this year when they had Randy and Edge, that was like rumored to be for the title. And then there was another rumor that they might change it to Edge versus The Fiend. I thought that was like when they were doing the Legend Killer stuff, they were setting up for Orton versus The Rock at Mania, but that didn't go there. I think AJ, if you want, like we proved with The Undertaker, if AJ faced The Rock, that would really like kind of highlight how good he is still. It will keep him protected and he can get the rust out of his system, get his timing right. And then after looks good, AJ does a job, phenomenal one versus great one. Think it sells. And then you can have The Rock versus Roman. But that's if, I guess I'm going to throw one more out there. Undertaker's name. Haven't seen him in a while. Do you see AJ versus Undertaker in front of fans so he actually like gets the send off that I guess he deserves?
Nah, man, it's over. I don't see. I think that match ended perfectly. I don't really see another saga to that. Gallows and Anderson aren't there anymore. That was also a big factor in that match. And AJ, I don't think has done enough the last year to garner that. But again, going back to what you said with Randy and The Rock, I just think it could be a similar build like it was with Brock versus Randy. Like it kind of came out of nowhere and it was like, okay, like two main guys here going at it. I mean, The Rock, like again, this isn't going to be a Mania match. It could either be like a Survivor Series or because we all know that Randy Orton's been called Mr. Survivor Series. So if if The Rock wants to come back, why not go? I guess in November, why not go up against Mr. Survivor Series? But other than that, I don't want to see AJ versus The Undertaker. I don't want to see The Undertaker anymore. I feel like that it's done, man. I feel like he's accepted it. He did that documentary last year. And after watching that, I just feel like he's done. But Alino, I got to ask this question to you. How much do you think The Undertaker has left in the tank?
Oh, my God.
Enough to do a couple bumps against AJ, but that's it. I don't think he's like Goldberg where he has enough to take a spear and a jackhammer. I think that ship has sailed. But yeah, if he faces AJ, I think they can do something where he's protected. Like, I think if they look at AEW, what they've done with Sting, like Sting's obviously in way better shape and can still like maintain something in the ring, take minimal bumps and still look good. Undertaker might be a different story. So I think a 5-6 minute match against AJ would at least make him look good, give him one more match in front of a live audience and at least do that. Like, I think it's more of like deserving and paying him respect for like what he did for the company more than actually wanting to see him wrestle at this point.
You're never going to give it up, eh? With Taker.
Got to see him with that motorcycle come down. We didn't see just it feel like that, on TV.
I'm sure Taker looked at Styles and probably thought, I want to face this guy at a WrestleMania. But I thought the timing was perfect. Like, I don't want to see them do another match because AJ's, all of AJ's work, his body of work up until that point, he was one of the few guys that was carrying like the entire company. So I thought like that was his climax. So everything he's been doing the last year or so, it's like, okay, new season for you. You're not going to be taking as much bumps. You'll be doing some comedic work with your fucking new giant friend. We'll give you the tag titles. You'll take some time off. So that match with Taker, I thought that was a perfect ending there.
Yeah, in terms of, like, The Rock always has options, and I feel like he's going to be the guy that he's going to point out a superstar. I wouldn't even be surprised. I know we all talk about, like you said, Damian Priest. I wouldn't be surprised if he even went out of his way and said, you know what, give me a little comic feud with Sami Zayn. Like, let me get that out of the way because that would be fun too. Sami Zayn is definitely deserving. At least I think he's deserving of a spot like that, even though if he gets squashed, it's still something to remember for him. But I still think it is going to be The Rock versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. It's been built. It's been rumored for like the last 2 years. But to me, I think I'm more excited, like you said, Alina, with the build-up matches. So like to get the rust maybe off of him, maybe you can go up. Like there's a lot of options. Seth Rollins, AJ Styles. I like both those two, but if there is a theme here, it makes sense if he kind of low key is trying to go through those two Shield members on SmackDown.
Yeah, it makes like I know a lot of the planning here is maybe do a long build and save The Rock's match for Mania, but I think he's at an age now where like he needs to get ring timing and to make it good. Like it's a WrestleMania main event, it'd be horrible to have like bad quality of a match, especially a guy like him. So like I think he should get one match like he did it last time and it ended up helping him out a lot. He did the Miz and R-Truth versus him and Cena, and then after he wrestled CM Punk the year after, he did that little program with him. So I think it just helps him in the long run get his timing. It's one thing going in a warehouse with, I think he was working with Curtis Axel at the time, and so I think that's one thing, like when you're in a warehouse, but like if you're getting the timing in front of a crowd, I think he needs that in the ring. So another one would be, do you have him go in the Royal Rumble instead as a way to have him work with different guys, or would you prefer an actual match?
Oh, I mean, yeah, you know what, take that one, buddy.
I'd be down for the Rumble just because when you think of The Rock, you like, oh, he's too big for that shit. He needs a one-on-one match and he's closing the show or else where I'm not playing. But yeah, if you were to come out in the Rumble, you wouldn't really see that shit coming. He can just, it would basically be throwing a punch at everyone in the ring and a rock bottom. And there are a lot of options there because you could still get eliminated and easily be protected. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But Alino, I was going to ask you, what are the chances that they do on a SmackDown, one random SmackDown 2 weeks before the pay-per-view, The Rock versus the Usos in a 2-on-1 handicap match? That's it. No other preparation.
Oh yeah. I think that would be, they would have to obviously promote that. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they see AEW start building some steam and they start getting a little cute there with their press release and start saying, oh yeah, we'd be Raw on the ratings. I think Vince McMahon, he's ruthless enough. He'd be like, okay, we'll see. Rock, you're wrestling on this SmackDown before Mania. We'll probably get Brock wrestling on a Raw. And I wouldn't put it past them. So, yeah, if AEW starts building some momentum, he's the type that would do it. I wouldn't be surprised.
Absolutely. I love him going in the Rumble. I think that would just be incredible. But again, he's a guy, you literally just mentioned it, he's bigger than the Rumble. But if he were to go in the Rumble, is it safe to say he'd go out at number 30?
There'd be some fuckery there. He's either winning or he's getting distracted and tossed out. One of those.
Imagine Cena, Rock, Orton, and Brock, Final Four.
Oh, no. Hunter's going to find a way to get in there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Surprise entrant number 31. Triple H's music hits. He wins it.
Going to feel left out.
Yeah, I feel like Triple H isn't done either.
Oh, man. He's burying AJ, right? TNA? He's got to bury somebody?
He's going to bury Kevin Owens. It's going to be Triple H versus Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. He's going to bury him.
Where do you think Roman got the idea of, if I lose, I'm leaving WWE?
And then he beats Brock Lesnar. If you beat me, Brock, my career is over. And he wins. Fuck off.
Fuck out.
Oh, man. Anything else in the wrestling world? Any other fantasy matches you want to see WWE throw out there? Well, some of these guys are not old enough, but still in that age range where, you know what, I don't feel bad for them potentially hurting themselves.
Okay, so not The Undertaker.
I mean, I want to see Edge versus Shinsuke. I want to see that happen sooner rather than later.
Did you say Edge?
I did.
Edge and Shinsuke. Ooh.
Oh man, just what we saw from Edge, like at SummerSlam alone. Like if this guy can do that, like with anyone else, why can't we see it with a guy that has one of the best strikes we've ever seen in Shinsuke Nakamura? And if you give that guy time, holy shit, he'll put on classics.
There it is.
Oh, you know what? I want to see an Elimination Chamber. Give me Bobby Lashley, Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar. Who else is another fucking monster?
Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, Drew. Throw Omos in there and get Walter. I saw Walter at that takeover. The first time I actually really like watched him last couple weeks, been following along. Man, this guy's ruthless with those chops. Throw him in there too. Put Keith Lee on the outside. Have all those monsters just fucking go at it. Let me see that. Elimination Chamber. All the big guys.
Drew's going to have to be the high flyer in that one by default.
Swanton bomb off the chamber.
You know what? Another match that I want to see. Sorry, Pignello. I need to see this happen before like they're all done. And that is if Big E were to win the WWE title, I have to see a triple threat New Day match. We saw it with the Shield. We have to see it with the New Day. So that is definitely one of my big dream matches too.
Xavier wins it.
Nah, Big E retains. Yes.
Nah, it'll be like when Ambrose won. No one saw that shit coming. They'll be like, fuck it, we'll give it to Woods because he's clearly the third option.
Nah, he's to me, he's a second option.
To me, he's my favorite. Which is like all three of them are so different, though. So a match between the three would actually be 5 stars for sure.
Yeah, buddy.
Pignell, any other fantasy matchups over there?
I'm trying to think of something with Keith Lee. For the entire time you guys were talking, I'm thinking Keith Lee and someone else. And I'm just going down the roster, and I can't think of shit. But if they can bring him back to relevance somehow, a guy like Ricochet, I want to see like a Ricochet and Keith Lee go at it. Because we see those two in NXT, and they're not really being utilized properly, so... Those two can get back to serious relevance before Keith Lee really takes off. I want to see those two have a nice little feud.
That'd be solid. Nice big guy versus a high flyer. Styles matchup. Keith Lee can do some moonsaults. That'd be dope. But as we close this out.
I gotta ask before we go with wrestling. Like, okay, Finn Balor was involved in the main event there with Roman and Cena. Like, what the hell happened?
I think Extreme Rules, him and Roman, or Because I don't know if they'll do Brock versus Roman at Extreme Rules. That might be a crown jewel, like Survivor Series time. So maybe Finn versus Roman, or he gets drafted to Raw and he picks up his feud with Bobby. That'd be, I think there's options for him.
Yeah, because like he was heavily involved the last 2 weeks with Roman, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, like I thought he was going to not interfere and cause jaw in the match, but I thought he was going to at least be watching, or they would have showed him at some point at SummerSlam. They didn't really mention his name at all. Do you guys maybe think with them not mentioning him, do you think he's going to come back as the Demon?
I feel like they may just not have plans for him.
Oh, poor
guy. Like within that storyline specifically.
So you thought they just brought him back for ratings?
One little pop in the rating.
Little spike.
It's just because it's Finn. I don't know, man, because they've done it so many times with him. So it was literally a one-time thing, and then they dropped it. So, yeah.
Remember the one-time thing with Finn versus Brock? That was fun.
Oh.
Oh, Brock. Brock can do wonders with all those little guys. He loves those guys.
Except Ricochet. Got it squashed. Oh. Poor guy. After one move.
He did squash. Oh, shit.
Well, that's episode 145. Hope you enjoyed that. This is all wrestling today because, you know, hockey and NBA, they're going to get back in the mix of things soon when training camp opens. So we'll have more to talk about on those sides. But so it's fun. Next week, AEW All Out, we'll preview that. All the matches will be finalized by then. And looks like it's going to shape up to be a solid card. So I'll wait on that, and we'll see you next week.